It's game time with the legends, sports legends, Hall of Famers, and much more. It's time for the Naples All-Star Event Sports Show.
Good morning, everyone. We are back live and in living color, although you can't see us, the Naples All-Star Events Sports Show right here on Fox Sports 105.9 FM in Southwest Florida is now heard on both Saturday and Sunday mornings at 8 a.m.
Today's show is brought to you by the Maxwell Mortgage Team and the Pat Dearborn Group, serving Naples and all of Southwest Florida.
And we are honored today to have one of the best that ever did it. And my friend, he's a terrible golfer, but he's a great guy nonetheless. The best that University of Kentucky had to offer, Mr. Kevin Michael Breeby. Kevin, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Mike. It's always great to talk to you and have to take slaps like that about my golf game. That's why I play tennis.
Kevin, you were a pride of Hamilton, Ohio, suburban Cincinnati. You had a pretty good career at Taft High School in Hamilton. Tell us how you got the bug for basketball.
Well, that was easy, Mike. That came from my father. And my dad played at Cincinnati Xavier back in the late 40s. They went to the NIT. And prior to that, he was a really good local basketball player in Hamilton, Ohio. And he played at Hamilton Catholic. And they won the state tournament. So my dad had that background of basketball. And my mom, she wasn't a bad athlete herself. She was a tennis player back when women didn't play a lot of, you know, sports. She was a very good tennis player. And so we had competition from the, as long as I can remember, Mike, growing up with five brothers and sisters, my mom and dad who were young and had us young. I was very, very fortunate to grow up in that area and to be introduced to sports and being competitive at a young age, always trying to beat my dad at everything and always coming up short, just made me more determined to be a basketball player. I played other sports, Mike. I played tennis, of course, with my mom's influence, played Little League baseball and played little pro football. But basketball with a basket up on the garage and having those great battles with my dad at a very young age made me really want to be a basketball player like him.
Do you have some competitive rivals in high school?
Yes. I'm not sure. Maybe people who can get this in Ohio would remember a guy named John Fraley. He was an unbelievable high school basketball player down in southern Ohio. Played for the Middletown Middies. His coach was Paul Walker, who was a legendary high school coach back then, and he went to Georgia, and he went to and then transferred to University of Cincinnati. He was probably the one guy, and then I have to, obviously, I can't forget Jerry Lucas, who was one of the all-time greats, Hall of Fame, played at Ohio State and played for the New York Knicks. Jerry was about 6 years older than me, but my dad used to take me to all his games in high school and then college, and watching him play inspired me as well to want to be like him. And the other would be John Havlicek, who grew up in Ohio as well, a little older than me, but these were my mentors growing up, Jerry Lucas, John Havlicek. Those are the guys I looked up to and who I wanted to emulate.
You had a great career in high school, and I would imagine that you had a ton of recruiting opportunities and offers. Why did you decide to go with Kentucky?
Well, Mike, that's a good question. I honestly thought that I was destined to go to Xavier, where my dad played and where I really went to their camps and was being recruited at a very young age. Miami of Ohio was very close to Hamilton, about 8 miles away. University of Cincinnati and Ohio State were also considered. And those were the schools that I would go to on Saturdays with my dad and watch him play on live court environment. And that's where I thought I fit. Kentucky came in really towards the end of my senior year, and I was ready to go to one of those four schools. And my dad was always telling me, he said, look, you were a hell of a lot better than I was when I played basketball. And I went to Xavier. If Kentucky comes around, and I'm not sure why they haven't, but you got to consider that, because that is the most proud program and where you would probably do your best. So he was already working it. And he called a friend of his who called Coach Hall, who then finally came down to look at me. And Mike, I had one of my worst games ever as a high school player when they came to the gym. And,
oh, my God.
Yeah, I was so nervous. We were playing our hometown rival, Hamilton Garfield.
Uh-huh.
And I had 6 points at halftime. Was horrible. You know, missed every shot I could take. And I remember my dad walking off the court and said, what's wrong with you? You're not yourself. And I said, Dad, I don't know what's wrong. I just can't make anything. And I'm thinking to myself, I got the big blue fever, you know,
the big blue fever.
Yeah. They came in with all the, they call them the blue coats, and there were about 100 of these guys come in. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to do much better in the second half. I just got to, I can't blow this opportunity to go to Kentucky. This is where my parents want me to go. And I felt the pressure. I came out to warm up and I looked, I saw my dad. He gave me a thumbs up, my mom. And then I looked behind him and all them blue coats were gone, Mike. Every one of them.
All of them were gone.
All of them are gone. Now, I thought the coach was gone too, but he actually was there. I didn't see him. You know, I just glanced over. And you talk about a deflating moment in my life. And I got so angry at myself, so mad. I finally took it out on those bums from Hamilton Garfield, and I scored 36 points in the second half.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And but I was so disappointed when I thought I blew it. And I came off the court. My mom, dad hugged me as usual. And I said, God, I can't believe the coaches and all those Kentucky people, they saw me play my worst. He said, Kevin, they had to drive back to Lexington, Kentucky. Coach Hall is still here. And he wants to say hi to you. And I was like, oh, man, maybe I did blow it after all.
You played for Dobie Hall. Did you ever have an opportunity to play for Adolph Rupp?
Well, that's a good question, Mike. And, you know, I was in that transition period when freshmen were not eligible to play varsity. So you're right. I graduated in 1971. And my freshman year, Coach Rupp was the varsity coach. But it was a freshman team that I played on. We were undefeated, number one ranked freshman team, 23-0. And we would also practice with varsity, not all the freshmen, just a couple of select guys. And I was able to work with the varsity and work under Coach Rupp my freshman year. But he didn't recruit me. He was a lot older. I really didn't relate to him. It was Joe Hall. And you know who what my assistant coach was? You aren't going to believe this, Mike. Leonard Hamilton.
Is that right?
Yes, who is the head basketball coach at Florida State. Leonard did not recruit me. He was actually just graduating. He was 4 years older than me when I came to Kentucky, and he was then the assistant coach at Austin Peay under Lake Kelly. And we met, Leonard and I did, my sophomore year. We played Austin Peay in Nashville. We beat them 106-100 in one of the high-scoring great games that I was part of at Kentucky. And Austin Peay, they had Fly Williams, who I know you remember, Mike, from New York.
Known very well.
He was a schoolyard sensation in inner city New York and averaged about 30 points a game. He had 28 at halftime against us. And anyway, we beat them. Lake Kelly moved on, and that's when my junior year, or the summer going into my junior year, Coach Hall grabbed Leonard Hamilton to be assistant coach. So
now, Kevin, you mentioned Leonard Hamilton. That's a great segue into this next question. You know, Kentucky, for years and years and years, was slow to integrate their basketball team. How do you feel that affected the recruitment process, that slowness to adapt towards integration?
Well, that's a great question. I was a part of that transition, really. When I first got to Kentucky, the first African-American that they recruited was a guy named Tom Payne, who played only 2 years in Kentucky. When I was a freshman, he was a sophomore, and he left early and played for the Atlanta Hawks briefly. And that was the real groundbreaking moment at Kentucky. A couple years before I got there, Coach Rupp brought Tom in. And then we had two walk-ons from the football team, Lenny Elmore and Daryl Bishop. And boy, they were good athletes, tough guys. They gave us that toughness. And they were also part of breaking that color barrier. And then my sophomore year was really, that's when we started recruiting Jack Gibbons, and we were recruiting Reggie Wolford, Larry Johnson. I was part of that recruiting because I wanted our team to for Mike, and we weren't going to win a championship again unless they didn't break that color barrier. And so I was proud to be a part of that and help recruit those guys. And just like I mentioned, Leonard Hamilton, Coach Hall knew the need. Once he got Reigns and Adolph Rupp left, he knew he had to modernize the game. And the SEC as a whole was also kind of late in doing that. But, man, by the time I graduated, you never felt any kind of void. I mean, we had 7, 8 guys that were African-American on my team. And you look at Kentucky now, and those players probably don't have a clue about
as to what took place
that African-Americans had playing at Kentucky.
This is the Naples All-Star Event Sports Show on a Saturday morning. We're honored to have my friend and the retired number 35 at the top of the Raptors at the Rupp Arena, Mr. Kevin Greavy.
Hall of Fame athletes exclusively here in Naples, Florida. It's only on the Naples All-Star Event Sports Show.
This commercial timeout brought to you by the Alamo Gun Range of Naples.
Welcome to the Alamo Gun Range of Naples. Are you a first-time shooter with a lot of questions and need training? The Alamo Gun Range of Naples is here for you. With our clean, comfortable, and relaxing atmosphere and a staff that's certified and trained to provide you with the answers and training you need to get started, you'll feel right at home. The Alamo Gun Range of Naples. Naples' premier indoor gun range and firearms superstore, alamorange.com.
Need to secure a loan for purchase or refinance? Call Lauren Maxwell and the Maxwell Mortgage Team of Cross Country Mortgage. Lauren Maxwell is a trusted name in Naples with over 35 years of lending experience. She has been recognized as the number one female loan originator in the state for the past 2 years. Whether you are a first-time home buyer or a seasoned investor, Lauren can help secure the right loan to suit your needs. Contact Lauren Maxwell and the Maxwell Mortgage Team. They're located at 9130 Galleria Court, Suite 101, Naples. Call Lauren Maxwell at 239-596-0500 or visit www.maxwellmortgageloans.com. The Maxwell Mortgage Team is a proud sponsor of the Naples All-Star Events Legends 4 at the Hilton Hotel in Naples. Lauren Maxwell, NMLS number 331415, Maxwell Mortgage Branch number 1770104, and Cross Country Mortgage, NMLS number 3027, an equal housing lender. Make sure to visit MaxwellMortgageLoans.com.
You never know when the shit could hit the fan, but when it does, call this man. Sunwest Plumbing is a proud sponsor of the Patriot broadcast here at Seat to Table. You never know when your pipes get backed up, so we are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to answer that emergency call. Because when you're clogged up, all you want is relief. We are located in beautiful, free Naples, Florida. We service both residential and commercial properties from Marco Island all the way up to Fort Myers. Remember, Sunwest is the best because we know our shit.
You've accomplished much in life. You want the very best, and that may include high-end art for your home or office. Look no further than Balanced Images. Balanced Images specializes in high-end aluminum art created just for you. The mission is to create one-of-a-kind art that brings a client's passion to life with a simple but yet bold approach. See them on the web at balancedimages.com or call Alessia Marcin at 804-301-5212. That's 804-301-5212. For one-of-a-kind art pieces designed with you and only you in mind, there is only one. balanced images.
Naples All-Star Events presents the Legends of Basketball 4, Monday, March 27th from 4 to 7:30 p.m. at the Hilton Naples. Meet and greet NBA Hall of Fame All-Stars, including Boston Celtic legend and NBA champion Kevin McHale, Detroit Pistons scoring machine, and now the mayor, Dave Bing, two-time NBA champion with the Bucks and the Bullets, Bobby Dandridge. And before there was magic and the airness, no one dazzled them on the court like Earl the Pearl Monroe. Come enjoy an exclusive VIP access to these four Hall of Fame basketball all-stars, including autographs, photos, food, prizes, and more. The Legends of Basketball 4, March 27th at the Hilton, Naples. Reserve your tickets now, and for more information, go to NaplesAllStarEvents.com. Legends 4 is brought to you exclusively by the Maxwell Mortgage Team and the Pat Dearborn Group. Mark your calendar now. Don't miss it. Known for bringing sports legends to Southwest Florida, here's the Naples All-Star Events Sports Show.
We're back. The sports show that talks to the legends. It's the Naples All-Star Events Sports Show. I'm Mike Bird, airing both Saturday and Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Fox Sports Radio. Today's show brought to you in part by the Maxwell Mortgage Team and the Pat Dearborn Group, serving Southwest Florida. And we are honored and privileged to have my friend and all-time Kentucky great, Kevin Grebe. And, you know, I talk about Kentucky, but, you know, you're a world champion with the Washington Bullets, and you also played for a short stint with the Milwaukee Bucks. 1975, you get drafted by the Bullets. That's got to be a big thrill for you, Kevin.
Oh, my gosh, Mike. It's, one of the best memories I have in life is getting drafted, because you dedicate, work so hard in high school and prior to high school, working and dreaming and hoping that someday you'll have an opportunity to play with the world's best. And I got that opportunity in 1975 when I was drafted in the first round by the Washington Bullets. And, you know, I know you remember, Mike, but the Washington Bullets at that time had just gotten eliminated by the Golden State Warriors, Rick Barry and company, four straight. And a couple years before that, Oscar Robertson and Lou Alcindor beat the Washington Bullets, four straight. So I came into a very good basketball team, a veteran-laden team with Coach KC. We just had an unbelievable team, but they were missing a few elements. And that's why Bob Ferry, who was the general manager, and Casey Jones, Bernie Bickerstaff, they all came up to me when I was drafted and flew into town. They said, Grebe, we need shooting, and that's what you provide at Kentucky. You're going to be playing with some great players, and Elvin Hayes and Wes Unseld, Dave Bing, Clem Haskins, Truck Robinson, Mike Reardon. So your role is, you know, we're going to take it slow, but you got to come off the court doing what you do best. And so it was great to somebody recognize that and was drafted to do that. It took me a while to get my footing because it was such a veteran team. But once you get that taste of the NBA and you're with all these great guys, these great players, if you're a student of the game and you're willing to work, you're going to get better. And I got better so fast with those guys. And, you know, I became a better defender, a better ball handler. And I was playing small forward at the time. And it was Dick Motta who replaced KC. My third year in the NBA was the year that they moved me to guard. And that opened up everything. But our good friend Phil Chenier was one of the best guards in the NBA. And you put him with Wes Unseld and Elvin Hayes, that was a trifecta that was very successful and trying to fight for another championship. And then Phil hurts his back in training camp. And he played maybe 8 or 10 games that entire season, had back surgery. That's when Dick Motta said, Grebe, we're moving you to guard. This is your opportunity. Now, there's no way I could fill those shoes of Phil Chenier. I mean, come on. He was an all-star. He was an unbelievable player. But I had confidence in my own right that I could find my open shot especially surrounded with all these other great players. And do you know, it got so much easier, Mike, playing with those great guys. And I had my career best years playing with Wes and Elvin. And
well, Kevin, even a scrub like me, if Wes Unseld set a pick, I mean, I think I could get off a few open jump shots. I mean, talk a little bit about the man mountain of Wes Unseld.
Point well taken, Mike. That's what opened up for me was, first, yes, his bone-jarring picks. Wes was probably a whisker under 6'6", if you can believe that, and he's going up against the likes of Wilt Chamberlain and Bill Russell and Luau Sindor. And then when I came in, the best centers at the time were Bob Lanier and Bill Walton and Artis Gilmore, some of those greats, Dave Cowens. And Wes, you always knew that the big fellow was going to hold his own. He was going to take care of the paint. He was going to set picks. He was going to rebound, and he was going to outlet. And then you had Elvin Hayes on the other side, who was a 20-10 game every night. He was a freak athlete, Elvin. Could run all day, 6'9", had best turnaround jumper maybe of all time. I'm saying all time, the greatest turnaround jump shot. It was just like automatic. And then if you're a team playing the Bullets, well, you're going to have to take away those two star players. That's when my man would help, and it was like open season. And like you're right, yeah. I mean, if I'm a good shooter, you better make open shots. And I never had so many open jumpers in my entire life playing basketball than I was playing with those guys.
Bill gets hurt. You come into the starting rotation, and the Bullets make an acquisition. Bobby D., otherwise known as my man, the Greyhound, Bobby Dandridge. Talk a little bit about how that addition set the Bullets off at a different level.
Man, you're right about that. You called him the Greyhound, and that's a great name for him. We called him Pick because he was—
Why'd you call him Pick?
Thin as a toothpick. Dab your ass back, baby, if you mess with him. He was so good. Bobby was the missing link for sure in us winning a championship, because for us to win a championship, we had to get by Dr. J in Philadelphia. We had to get by Iceman in San Antonio. And it was probably the greatest acquisition in Bullet Wizards history. They got him for Milwaukee for a shoestring. And he came, and from the moment he arrived, I knew we not only had two Hall of Famers, but we got a third one here in Bobby D. And it was about time he got inducted this summer. What a front line, Mike. And to be a part of that team, a part of those guys, is really a gift that keeps on giving. We're dear friends, all of us. And I'm going to mention a couple other guys from that 1978 World Championship team. The other starting guard was Tommy Henderson. He was our point guard with me in the backcourt. Off the bench was Larry Wright, Charlie Johnson, who gave us just instant offense. Greg Ballard and Mitch Kupchak. Are you kidding me? How good those two guys were coming off the bench. Unfortunately, Mike, we didn't repeat. We had a chance, but we had so many injuries, including myself, Mitch Kupchak, Bobby Dandridge, Tommy Henderson, all of us went down with injury. We had the best record in the NBA. We were a better team than the year that we won it, but everything's got to come together. And it was injuries catching up to the older guys, especially Wes Unseld, who battled through all kinds of knee problems, back problems, but he was such a warrior back then. And there was no load management that you see today. Man, you went out, and there was that peer pressure among you. When I see Wes getting his knees drained, and he's putting his back brace on and his knee braces, and he's getting ready to go out to battle, and I got an ailment, and I'm not going to play when the big fella, our captain's out there. He shouldn't be, but he was. What a great leader. And that was the times. You know, if you got cut up in the eye or busted your lip, they would stitch you right there on the sidelines. They put a towel around your head and just go right ahead and stitch you up, get you back out there because you had to play.
Let me ask you this. Because when the Bullets won in 78, it was the first time a Washington team had won anything in years and years and years and years and years. Give our listeners a brief taste of what it was like to parade down Pennsylvania Avenue.
That was unbelievable. It started right after the game. We all rushed onto the team bus. Abe Poland, for whatever reason, I don't know who made the mistake, but there was no champagne in the locker room. And we're like, we're going to a liquor store right now. We got to have champagne. Abe gave the bus driver orders, find a liquor store open on a Monday night in downtown Seattle. And the driver found one, thank God. We went, we raided the liquor store. That liquor store guy, that owner was like, who in the hell are you guys? We said, give us all your champagne right now. Here's the credit card.
Wow.
Are you all that basketball team that just beat the Seattle? Yes, we are. And we loaded and we drank champagne and partied until early morning and then arrived at Dulles Airport. And from that point on, it was the most grand parade into, you know, we didn't delay. We went right to the White House next day. Jimmy Carter was the president. It was just the cherry on top of the sundae for everything that we pursued and endured.
The Naples All-Star Event Sports Show on a Saturday morning, and we're interviewing the one that got away from Marquette University. I'm sorry to say that my alma mater did not get the left-hander Kevin Greavy, but he went on to bigger and better at the University of Kentucky and the Washington Bullets and the Milwaukee Bucks. And his number is retired at the top of the rafters, number 35 in blue and white. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about where Kevin is right now and his scouting career for the Lakers and now his scouting career for the Charlotte Hornets.
You're listening to the Naples All-Star Event Sports Show with your host, Mike Bird.
This commercial timeout brought to you by the Floormeisters of Naples. Just keeping it real.
Floormeisters of Naples, family owned and operated, specializing in wood, Cortec carpet and tile. Huge in-stock selection, great pricing, licensed and insured. 15,000 square foot showroom. Visit them today at floormeisters.com or call them at 239-596-4964. That's the Floormeisters of Naples, just keeping it real.
Are you a small business owner with at least one employee? If you answered yes and do not have an employment handbook, now is the time to call HR by Karen to help your business stay in compliance and out of trouble. Call HR by Karen for your free one-hour business consultation today at 239-776-5919 or visit our website at hrbykaren.com. You can't spell heart without HR.
Mark and Amanda Finning with the Finning Team, powered by Keller Williams Sports and Entertainment, seek to assist you with your future property investment nationwide. The Finning Team provides the knowledge and expertise to help you in your real estate needs with a strong network of professionals and access to a variety of resources. This helps to search or market your property effectively, meticulously, and privately. Call the Finning Team now at 239-920-1848. That's 239-920-1848. The Finning Team.
When it comes to promotional products in Southwest Florida, you can trust the good people of Swag World. With so many companies offering promotional products, it's hard to know who to trust. Will they get the logo right? Will they deliver on time? Is the price correct? Well, you can trust the people of Swag World. Their number one priority is to make you and your organization shine. Their success is your success. Call them for a consultation today. The number is 877-260-0002. That's 877-260-0002. Their success is your success. Swag World, number one in Southwest Florida. And remember, when it comes to promotional products, you can trust the good people of Swag World.
Naples All-Star Events presents the Legends of Basketball 4, Monday, March 27th from 4 to 7:30 p.m. at the Hilton Naples. Meet and greet NBA Hall of Fame All-Stars, including Boston Celtic legend and NBA champion Kevin McHale, Detroit Pistons scoring machine, and now the mayor, Dave Bing, two-time NBA champion with the Bucks and the Bullets, Bobby Dandridge. And before there was magic and the airness, no one dazzled them on the court like Earl the Pearl Monroe. Come enjoy an exclusive VIP access to these four Hall of Fame basketball all-stars, including autographs, photos, food, prizes, and more. The Legends of Basketball 4, March 27th at the Hilton Naples. Reserve your tickets now, and for more information, go to NaplesAllStarEvents.com. Legends 4 is brought to you exclusively by the Maxwell Mortgage Team and the Pat Dearborn Group. Mark your calendar now. Don't miss it. It's the Naples All-Star Events Sports Show.
We're back, the Naples All-Star Events Sports Show, with my buddy, Kevin Grevey, of the University of Kentucky, the Washington Bullets world champion, and of course, the Milwaukee Bucks. And Kevin, you had a brief stint with the Bucks after being traded. Well, first of all, before we even go into the Bucks history, and what you did after you retired, what was the feeling like getting that notification that you're going to be moved on?
Well, I've been with the Bullets 8 years, had won that championship, and I think every player thinks that they're going to start and finish with the team that drafted them. But reality, there was a transition going on when Wes and Elvin and Mitch went to the Lakers, Greg Ballard went to the Golden State Warriors. I kind of saw it coming. And when Brian Winters, who was a great shooter in a
South Carolina.
Yeah. And Brian was playing for the Milwaukee Bucks, just like Phil Chenier, who had the bad back, shortened Phil's career. The same daggone thing happened to Brian Winters. So here I am, this fire extinguisher. I'm going to come in and I'm going to replace Brian Winters in the lineup for the Milwaukee Bucks. That was Don Nelson.
You played on some pretty good teams with the Bucks, though.
Man, did I ever. You know, let me tell you, I played with a lot of Hall of Famers, you know, Bob. I have. And that sure makes a difference in one's career if you can be surrounded with other great players. And so when I go to Milwaukee, Tiny Archibald was at the end of his career playing for them. Sidney Moncrief was the two guard. Had Junior Bridgman, Marcus Johnson, and Bob Lanier in the front line. Those were some pretty good ball players. And then there was the young Ricky Pierce, who ended up becoming sixth man in the NBA for a long time. Terry Cummings, a young player at DePaul. And again, I joined a veteran team that also had some very good young talent. And Don Nelson says, Grevey, all I want you to do is shoot. And that's music to a player's ears, you know, who knows how to shoot. And I said, Coach, I can provide that for you for sure. And so they had a Grevey rule. When I would come off the bench, he would set picks. He said, everybody on the floor, I want you to look for Grevey. Set picks. We're going to find him, and he's going to shoot it. And he said,
oh, my God.
And he said, Grevey, you're only going to be on the floor about 5 or 6 minutes a stint in the first half and the second half. But I want you to light it up. I want you to come in there ready to fire. And he was a former player. Don Nelson, he got it. He understood that coming off the bench is difficult for a player in the NBA. But if you have a defined role and everybody else on the floor knows it, then now it's easy.
So you were the microwave before the microwave.
Yes, I was. I was. I was. I had the Grevey role. I'll tell you one game against Cleveland. This is crazy.
All right.
I come out off the bench. We're playing horrible in Richfield Coliseum in Cleveland, and the Milwaukee Bucks are big favorite with, you know, a winning streak of about 8 or 9 games. And we come in there and we were flat. Everybody was playing horrible. And so Nelly went to me early. I mean, instead of waiting for the second quarter for those 5 or 6 minutes, he put me in mid first quarter. He could see how bad things were. And he said in the timeout, I said, Grevey's coming in. Let's see if somebody can give us some life. And well, man, I couldn't wait to touch the ball. And I hit my first shot, then the second, then the third. I had 24 points in like 12 minutes. All right. I've started the second quarter, 24 points, but we're still down about three. And he said, all right, the only reason we're even in this game is for Greedy. So let's go back out in the second half and see if some of you guys can start playing your normal game. So we start playing better. Now we got about an 8-point lead. Now I'm itching to get in, you know, to get that 30, 35 point. Never played in the second half.
Wow. Never played.
Never got in. And Nelly, he said, Greavy, you did exactly what you had to do. Don't feel bad. That was no disrespect, but I had to get these other guys to see it. And so I did. So I knew my role. I wasn't going to worry about it.
Kevin, you left the Bucks and actually retired from the game and then went on to become a scout for the Los Angeles Lakers. What was that experience like?
It was wonderful. I really had a gap in my life when I retired. I was 33 years old. I had opened my restaurant and I put all of my energy with my wife into that restaurant. We had a young family. I was so excited to, you know, have my own business and all, but there was still that void. There was, you know, because in my DNA, I was wired to compete and be a basketball player. And it, you know, even though you're competing in business, and I used a lot of the lessons that I had learned and I applied those the best I could in my business, I still missed the locker room. I still missed the guys. And Mitch Kupchak, who is a dear friend of mine, as you know, Mike, he was in management with the Lakers after he retired, and we would vacation together. And he always asked me, he said, Kevin, you ever think about getting back into the game? I said, I don't know, Mitch. You know, I'm so immersed into my business, and I'm grateful to have that, and I'm working so hard, but I don't know. I don't know. I never said yes. And then one of our vacations, we were in the Virgin Islands on a golf outing, and he said, Greavy, you know, Jerry West is going to retire one of these days, and I'm going to be the general manager, and I'm going to need good basketball people around me. Would you consider being a scout? And I'm like, well, what does a scout do? You know, tell me about it. And my kids were a little older, and the timing was right. And I thought, well, I don't know. Let me think about it, Mitch. And I remember going, we were working out in the fitness room there at in Virgin Islands, and I told my wife. She said, well, what did you tell him? I said, I told him I'd think about it, Sandy. And she said, are you crazy? You go back to that fitness room and you tell Mitch, yes, I want the job.
Kevin, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you three very simple questions. And hopefully you can give us a quick answer on each one. Give us a Jerry West story, a Kobe Bryant story, and a Shaq story.
All right. Well, I'll start with it in that order. Jerry West, obviously, we know the great Jerry West. He knows talent. He knows everything. But he's very impatient, very impatient. He doesn't mess around with somebody who is incompetent and doesn't focus. And Mitch says, Kevin, I want you to get to know Jerry really well. We're in Hawaii. He said, I want you to pick him up at his hotel room and we're going to go play golf. And so I saw Jerry in Stan Sheriff's Center during training camp. I said, hey, Jerry, hi, nice to see you, Mitch. He said, glad you're here. Mitch says you're going to be working for us. I said, yeah. I said, Jerry, I'll pick you up. I got the rental car. I'll pick you up at 11:30. He said, okay, I'll be right up front, 11:30. I said, okay. So I go pick up Jerry, and I'm running a little late. You know, it's like 11:35.
Right.
And I go up there, and there's no Jerry West. There is nobody. And I'm like, damn. I go inside, and the lady, what's Jerry West's room? And she said, Mr. West, well, we can't give his room, but we'll call. And he called, and he's not there. Well, I stayed out front there for about 15 minutes, and I said, damn. Right. Jerry ain't here. So that was before cell phones, you know. This is like, so I go out to the club and there's Jerry West. You know, he's talking to Mitch. And I said, Jerry. He said, what happened? He said, what happened? Where were you? You didn't pick me up. I said, Jerry, I was there at 11:34, 11:30. Well, you weren't there at 11:30. I'm like, oh, man. So I was like, man, I just blew it. Mitch pulled me aside. That's just Jerry. Don't worry about it. Kobe, I was sitting in that same training camp my first year with the Lakers, and I'm there with Jerry West and all these Hall of Famers, and I'm sitting there, and Kobe's grandfather, grandmother had passed away, and he wasn't there at training camp the first 5-6 days. And then all of a sudden, 6th, 7th day of training camp, here comes Kobe. And Jerry says, well, y'all saw the practices first 5-6 days. You're going to see the competition elevate. I said, really? You think so? He said, just watch. And sure enough, all of a sudden, elevation, the intensity, the game was completely different than the 6 days that I was watching training camp with the Lakers. He made everybody compete, play harder. He drove them. He's talking to everybody, smacking guys, throwing balls at guys. I'm like, oh my gosh, is this normal?
And how old was he? How old was he when he was doing this?
He was like in his 3rd or 4th year. Yeah.
So he's like 21.
Yeah, yeah, right, right. His high school kid. I almost felt sorry for these guys at training camp who were playing against him, but that's how he drove them. That's how he pushed. And Shaq, every time he'd see Shaq, or I'd see Shaq, he said, oh, Kupchak's boy, huh? Kupchak's boy. And I'm like, I don't know what to say to Shaq. You know, I don't know if he's kidding or teasing or not. So I went up to Shaq. We were, it was between practices, and everybody had to go to the swimming pool. And I said, Shaq, we got to bet that you, when you jump off a diving board, that there is going to be ripples of water coming out, and we're making a bet of how much water. He said, what are you talking about? Which board? I said, the diving board. He said, I'm going off the big one. I'm going off the 25-footer. I said, no, Shaq, you can't do that. So we're all walk over. Here's the pool. Phil Jackson, this is a team bonding thing. He's got everybody in there. We're all waiting for Shaq. Here comes Shaq. And he's in one of these spandex little tiny. It's the funniest thing I ever saw in my life. He gets up on the top. He climbs up and feels like, what are you doing? Don't get up there. And nobody tells Shaq he can't do something. He climbs right up 25 feet, gets up on that deck. And damn if he didn't jump.
Wow. Oh,
thunderous. And out. And, but he did it. He was just a big kid, a lovable kid. And you can see why his teammates just love Shaq. They didn't love Kobe quite like they loved Shaq.
Right. The Naples All-Star Event Sports Show on a Saturday morning. Great stories with Kevin Grevy. We'll be back with Kevin in just a little bit. Want to make sure that you know.
Today's show is brought to you by the Maxwell Mortgage Team and the Pat Dearborn Group, serving Naples and all of Southwest Florida.
You're listening to the Naples All-Star Events Sports Show.
The Rescue 22 Foundation is a national nonprofit organization based in Naples, Florida, that provides trained service dogs to veterans with disabilities in need. Service dogs address the many challenges veterans face associated with combat, both physical and mental. Rescue 22 makes sure there is no cost to our veterans. Please join our mission. Visit rescue22foundation.org or call 302-272-8029. All donations are 100% deductible. That's rescue22foundation.org.
Realtor Patrick Dearborn with John R. Wood Properties is the official realtor for all Patriots here in Southwest Florida, aka Freedom Town, USA. Call Patrick Dearborn and his all-star team today, 239-877-4340, and let them help you navigate the current market successfully. Investors, second homeowners, full-time home, condo, or commercial, Patrick Dearborn is the go-to agent. Proud veteran of the U.S. Army 82nd Airborne, Patrick loves our community and gives back to those in need. Big heart, big patriot. Call Patrick Dearborn today, 239-877-4340.
Are you a small business owner working in your business versus on your business? If you answered yes, outsourcing your human resources may make sense for you. Call HR by Karen for your free one-hour business consultation today at 239-776-5919 or visit our website at hrbykaren.com. After all, you can't spell heart without HR. Let's crush it together.
Naples All-Star Events presents the Legends of Basketball 4, Monday, March 27th from 4 to 7:30 p.m. at the Hilton Naples. Meet and greet NBA Hall of Fame All-Stars, including Boston Celtic legend and NBA champion Kevin McHale, Detroit Pistons scoring machine, and now the mayor, Dave Bing. Two-time NBA champion with the Bucks and the Bullets, Bobby Dandridge. And before there was magic and the airness, no one dazzled him on the court like Earl the Pearl Monroe. Come enjoy an exclusive VIP access to these four Hall of Fame basketball all-stars, including autographs, photos, food, prizes, and more. The Legends of Basketball 4, March 27th at the Hilton, Naples. Reserve your tickets now, and for more information, go to NaplesAllStarEvents.com. Legends 4 is brought to you exclusively by the Maxwell Mortgage Team and the Pat Dearborn Group. Mark your calendar now. Don't miss it. It's the Naples All-Star Events Sports Show with Mike Bird.
We hope that you're enjoying this interview with Kevin Grevy as much as I am. Just absolutely fantastic. And before the break, we were going over some Shaq and Kobe and Jerry West story. I would be remiss if I didn't ask you one more. Can you give us briefly one Phil Jackson story?
Yeah, Phil was he was such an interesting guy, and the way he would try to reach his guys was legendary, you know, having all these different characters, and he would splice film together and try to reach guys. Dennis Rodman riding bikes with him, motorcycles, all kinds of things. So I remember there was a good friend of mine who played briefly at Kentucky, transferred, went to Villanova, and his name was Michael Bradley. And Michael was a heck of a basketball player, and he played with my nephew, Ryan Hogan, who was at Kentucky. Their coach was Tubby Smith. And I remember Michael is at the end of his career, and he's like, Kevin, would you do me a favor? My agent is trying to get a hold of the Lakers, trying to reach Phil Jackson, and he's not returning our calls. I want to play with the Lakers in my worst way. It's at the end of my career. It was like in his 10th or 11th. He was a journeyman player. I said, Michael, I'll do anything to help. What do you want me to do? Just tell Phil that I'd be interested in playing for him. And I said, well, I will. So I couldn't wait for Phil to come into the locker room. And Phil's kind of imposing figure. You know, you don't want to bother him. You have to wait for the right opportunity. And I said, and he just addressed the guys who were going out to practice. And I said, hey, Phil, you mind if I talk to you? There's something I'd like to talk to you about. He said, sure, what's up? And I said, well, there's a friend of mine, and he's been in the league, and I know you know him, Michael Bradley. He said, yeah, I know Michael Bradley. And I said, for some reason, he's at the end of his career. He's without a job. He would really like an opportunity to play for the Lakers. And he said, he told you that? And I said, yeah, he did. He said, well, there's a reason why I didn't call him back. There's a reason why I didn't call his agent back. Michael Bradley can't help us, Grevy. He said, you stay in your lane with Mitch and Scout, and then we'll have something to talk about. I'm like, holy cow. I'm like, man, did I ever. He took about two steps and he turned around and he grabbed me. He said, I talked to Michael. And he said, Michael, he doesn't want to do a 10-day contract. Thanks a lot, Kevin. I really appreciate it. Any kind of that inside information you come our way, you let me know. I'm like, whoa. Wow. I was like, man, I went from like, oh, my God, did I just lose my job with the Lakers to okay. But that's, you know, he had that dry sense of humor. You never knew if he was teasing you or if he was serious. So he was that kind of guy.
You leave the Lakers and you follow Mitch Kupchak to the Charlotte Hornets, which is where you are right now. Tell us about Michael Jordan. What's MJ like?
He's a businessman, and we know how successful he has been off the court. He's competitive as all get out. Anybody that watched that 12-part series last year and watched how he drove his team, he was unbelievable as a player, the greatest maybe all time. And he's been a little disappointed in the Hornets and what they've been able to accomplish since he's owned them. 2012 is when he bought the Hornets from Bob Johnson, formerly owner of the BET network. So
right.
Ever since he's been there, he's driving, he's gone through coaches, and you know, it just hasn't worked out. That's why he hired Mitch Kupchak. Mitch was available. That's why he brought a lot of us in who were with the Lakers, multiple guys who were formerly with the Lakers are now with the Hornets. Mitch has done an unbelievable job bringing in a young coach, James Borrego. But it all starts at the top. And Michael, he wants to be proud of this team. He wants to go to that arena and really feel proud of what he has accomplished and has. And he hadn't been able to feel that until recently. And now we're finally, you know, starting to get our footing.
Turn the corner.
Yeah, we got a franchise player in LaMelo Ball, who is just the closest thing to Pistol Pete Maravich. Anybody that my age or older that knows Pistol Pete, he was a showman, could do everything with the ball. He was setting scoring records, still the all-time leading college scorer, only played 82 games. This is LaMelo Ball, and Pistol Pete kind of reincarnated, and he makes everybody better. And Miles Bridges is a high-wire act. I mean, those two guys really connect. We got Gordon Hayward, who is our veteran player, and Terry Rozier, who's our leading scorer. Now we just got to keep integrating the young guys. And as a scout, I'm very proud to be a part of rebuilding this franchise. And ultimately, we want Michael to feel really happy with where we are. But you know where that bar is with Michael Jordan. It's not just to make the playoffs. It's win a championship.
Win the championship.
And there's 30.
Hey, Kevin, you mind if we do a little rapid fire with you real quick? Because we've got just a few minutes left. This is rapid fire time. Which is a greater thrill for you, having your number retired at Kentucky or winning the championship in the NBA?
Winning a championship, no question. Having your number retired was certainly a wonderful feeling, but that's an individual feeling. And I shared that with my wife and kids, and getting that number retired was wonderful. But winning a championship, come on, that's why I started dribbling a basketball. I wanted to be a winner like my dad, and I just wanted to see what it would feel like. I didn't win a state championship. We lost in the final game in Ohio against a Columbus team, and I didn't win the NCAA championship. We lost to UCLA my senior year in 1975, John Wooden's last game as a coach. And I was wondering if I ever was going to win anything, Mike. You know, my dad, he won two. He won an NIT and a state championship. And I just kept plugging and pursuing and hopeful. And as luck would have it, I was with those great guys, the Washington Bullets, who were hungrier than I was to win a championship, and we did it. And it's just a wonderful feeling to have reached that pinnacle at some point in your life.
In your mind, what's best about the NBA?
Oh, my gosh. Mike, that's too tough a question.
Okay, all right.
No.
Let's go the other way. In your mind, what's worse about the NBA?
What's worse about the NBA is that the NBA plays too many games. I mean, it was okay 30 years ago, 40 years ago, when they formed the league. It was okay because it wasn't a fast and furious physical game like it has become now. 82-game season. If you want to expand the roster to 20 guys, 18 guys, I say that they should do that. There's too many games. And that's where you get this crazy load management crap. Injuries. Now we got the COVID thing that we're all dealing with individually, and the NBA is trying to manage that. Teams are getting ravaged with injuries, COVID. And fans who buy a ticket, they want to come to see their stars play. And how disappointing is that when you go out and purchase tickets and you go to a game and there's load management? The Greek Freak is not going to play here in Washington because he's played too many back-to-back games. That's an embarrassment for the league. That's the worst thing about the league.
Who was your toughest teammate? Who did you hate to play against?
Toughest teammate or player?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Not toughest teammate, toughest opponent. Who did you just – I mean, when you saw him on your schedule, you said, oh, my God, I hate this team. Hate to play against this guy.
Had to be Iceman. And now
– Gervin?
Yeah, Iceman, George Gervin, George was such a great guy. I mean, he was such a nice guy, but he was also an assassin. He could drop 40 or 50 on you. I'll tell you one last story about George Gervin. This is fun.
Okay.
We're in the playoffs, and we're playing them, and it's first game, and, of course, we got to stop Iceman, and I'm guarding an Iceman. He hits a finger roll. Then he drives baseline. He hits a little reverse, and then he hits a three-pointer, and then he hits another jumper, and now he's got, like, 12 points in the first 3 minutes of the game. And Dick Motta looks down the bench. He's like, we got to get Greavy out of there. He can't guard him. And we're going to the table, and Ice is shooting a free throw. And he said, hey, Greavy, is he coming in for you? And I said, hell, I don't know, Ice. You know, I just wanted to shut up. And he missed the free throw, so play goes on.
Right, right.
We got the ball, and he said, Greavy, go ahead and get you one. I said, get me one. What are you talking about? He said, go ahead, man. Just go ahead and get you one. And I'm like, that dog, he ain't going to guard me. And I come off a pick, and I see him just like wink. He's like laughing. Heck yeah, I'm going to take a freebie. And I made the jumper. Right. Come right down for a dead ball. Come out of the game. And I'm like, I'm sitting down on the bench, and I'm pausing. I think, that dude is playing me. That dirty dog, Ice. He didn't want me to come out. He's having too much fun scoring on me. Never forgot that.
The Naples All-Star Event Sports Show. This has been absolutely fantastic. I am so proud and honored to call you my friend. We've known each other for a long time, my friend. You have a beautiful family, you and your beautiful wife, Sandy. Just phenomenal people, and I really wish everyone would have an opportunity to have a conversation like we are this morning with you. You're just the very best that the NBA and, quite frankly, life has to offer.
Oh, Mike, you could be nicer. I really appreciate it. We've had a long friendship, and we've had a business relationship, and I had the restaurant, and you were so successful there in D.C., you and Doc, and I'm proud of you and what you've accomplished. I'll just have to come down to Naples and see you.
Well, you know, we hope to have you down here for a Legends event sometime very soon.
I would love to do that. Please.
All right.
I'll be down. You know that. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you so much, Kevin. Again, we hope you've enjoyed this interview with Kevin Greavy, number 35, from the University of Kentucky and world champion with the Washington Bullets. Today's show brought to you in part by the Maxwell Mortgage Team and the Pat Dearborn Group, serving Southwest Florida. Here's hoping the rest of your day is legendary.
It's the Naples All-Star Event Sports Show. Your host, Mike Bird. Be sure to join us next week as we sit down with another sports legend, exclusively for you to enjoy as we hear the stories, the drive, the determination behind the legendary athletes of our time. It's the Naples All-Star Events Sports Show.